कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाय शून्यवादी पश्चात्तदेशतारिणे गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिका तदाल्यै कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवते नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा यू आर ऑल वेलकम फॉर अवर कंटिन्यूटी ऑफ भक्ति वैभव study that we achieve. We are discussing fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and the chapter 7 is under discussion. The chapter 7 is entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha. And we are continuing from verse 24th onward. So yesterday we discussed the greatness of Lord Shiva. He accepted the request of Brahma along with all demigods. He forgave them. He came to the arena of Yajna where the sacrifice was taking place. And he the main yajman, means the main performer of the yajna, Daksha, who was dead, he made him come back to life with a goat head, and then other demigods, they got their limbs back, but the priest or those who were more physically offenders, they were somehow given some concession, but still the scar of the offense was on them. And as soon as the area of the yajna was purified and the first oblation was put on the fire, Lord Vishnu appeared there. So as soon as Lord Vishnu appeared, so it was very effulgent. So now nobody is talking, so Maitreya Rishi is speaking what happened when Lord Vishnu arrived. So in verse 23 yesterday we read, in presence of glaring effulgence of bodily lustre of Narayan, everyone else lustre faded away. So this is the first thing they observed. Maitreya Rishi says they observed there that as soon as Lord Vishnu arrived there, his effulgence from a body, what we call this effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, it was so glaring that rest of the demigods, they were also powerful. There is a glare of Brahma, there is a glare of Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, they are also effulgent. They are effulgent because they carry Lord Vishnu in their heart. You know, this is we know from the Bhagavatam, when Krishna appeared in the mind of Vasudev, then Vasudev was shining. And when Krishna from Vasudev's mind is transferred to the Devaki, then Devaki was shining. It means, originally the effulgence of the Lord, when Lord appears in somebody's mind, then he is also effulgent. So the effulgence in the rest of the people present was actually the effulgent coming from the Lord presenting in their heart, presence of Lord in their heart. So therefore we have saintly persons, they look effulgent because they have realized, or else Lord has manifested within their heart. You know, sometimes people, some old devotees, they say, when Prabhupada is coming, he's coming as if he's flying from the aeroplane, and he's coming over the step like this. Yamuna Mataji says, when he was going, his footprints were not there, his mind were there. So then there's some say, he was all effulgent when they looked at it. They only according to their realization they are speaking. It's not they know everything about Prabhupada, but for some glimpse they know. And when Yamuna Mataji asked, how come Prabhupada, my footprints are there and yours are not there? And Prabhupada simply said, you can realize in due course of time, nothing more. So there are, so this is Narottam Das Thakur saying, Krishna se tumara Krishna dite paro. So the spiritual master has realized Krishna within their heart. So he's also effulgent. But when Krishna appears, then other effulgence, the effulgence of the others become dimmed. Like there may be some candles in a room when there's no light, but as soon as the light comes, the candle becomes little dim. So this is the first sign there. But the next thing happened, and everyone stopped speaking. This is the another most important thing. When some respectable senior person comes, then everybody should stop speaking in honor. No more talking. Therefore, when we enter in the temple, it is always said, keep silence. You cannot talk in the temple when the Lord is there. But people are talking, so it's offense actually. And practically, when somebody is speaking on Bhagavatam and somebody is talking on the phone, this is offense. It is something like this is what a practical application said. Nobody should talk until unless he's asked for, or until unless it is a prayer. No personal talking. So everybody stopped talking. And third thing happened was, fearful with the awe and reverence, all present touched their hands to their head and prepared to offer their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adhokshajay. So they put their hand like on the head like this. Namaskaram. Huh? Actually they stood up, it's not written here, but they all must have been stood up also. This is implied because they put their hand on the head, this means they paid their obeisances. And what they were now what is in their mind? They were fearful and with reverence. That is called adhara. Sanjivaha sasadhasa Murdhanaha drishta anjalihi puta upad Adokshajam tejasa hata ruchaha Sanjivaha sasadhasa. Silent tongue, jiva, son of jiva, silent tongue, no talking. Sasadvasaha, having fear of him. Sasadvasaha. Okay, so, out of respect, other word, adar, in Sanskrit, adar means, dar means fear. Because of the fear, which is of respect actually, we should not commit some offense in presence of big person. It's not fear that he will kill you, or he will, you know, speak something. No, the other is that we may not commit mistake. This should be fear. What type of fear? We should not commit mistake in front of the Lord. So now the next verse. And they prepared for offering prayers.
Api aravaga vratyayasya matitva atma bhuvahadya yatha mati grananti sma Krita anugraha vigraham Yatha mati grananti.
This word is most important. Yatha mati grananti. Yatha mati. Yatha means as far as. Mati means whatever was their understanding of the Supreme Lord. Grananti means they started speaking. What actually it means is, so mati, it is only the intelligence, but intelligence is a different name in Sanskrit. Buddhi. Buddhi or intelligence is a different name in Sanskrit. When you remember the many things which have passed, which are in the, see, already passed, of the past time, if you remember many things which we have heard before, that buddhi is called Smriti. Smriti means he has a remembrance power, his intelligence is Smriti. And when we discuss something and somebody come up with nice, good, intelligent answer is called Buddhiman. So he is intelligent, present. And somebody for the future have made a mind and has realized something, their intelligence is called Mati. Then that intelligence which is completely fixed on Supreme Lord is called Pragya. Sthitta Pragya Ka Bhasha, this is in Bhagavad Gita, Sthitta Pragya. That intelligence which is fixed on absolute. So Mati is an intelligence. In Bhagavad we get a Sati Mati. Sati Mati, Sati means chaste. That intelligence which is only focused on Supreme Lord is Sati Mati. Then we have another type of intelligence which you will come across in a fourth canto. Puranjani Mati. Puranjani Mati, it means that intelligence basically is enjoying intelligence. Puranjani Mati. So the one who enjoys in the body is a Puranjani Mati. There is in a fourth canto you come across this Puranjana allegory by Narad Rishi, where this Puranjani is actually intelligence and Puranjana is a soul. The soul is, you know, so this intelligence is attracting the soul instead of God. So this is Intelligence is a puranjani, enjoying mentality, enjoying intelligence. So these are the different words. So mati, yatha mati. And in the beginning, if you recall, in first canto, Suta Goswami says, yatha mati. As I have realized, I will speak. Srila Prabhupada is a very nice purport that we can hear so many things from the spiritual authorities, but what we realize, that we can speak. So yatha mati means whatever was their realization. And everybody has a different realization of the God, according to his own spiritual advancement. So now, the translation goes, although the mental scope of even demigods like Brahma, the word is Atmabhu. Atmabhu means Brahma. Atmabhu means born of himself. Adya means and others. Was unable to comprehend the unlimited glories of the Supreme Lord. It means nobody knows completely about the Supreme Lord. Which verse from Bhagavad Gita you can quote on this? All right, 10th chapter, first verse. What is the first verse in 10th chapter? Second verse. Name vidho surganaha namah rishya. Neither the host of demigod nor the rishis knows me. Why? Aham adirhi devanam maharishinam cha sarvasha. Because I am their origin, how will they know me? They were not there when I was there. So I am their origin, so they cannot know me. So this is the verse from 10th, where Krishna says, nobody knows me, no demigod knows me. Or maybe they are enjoying in the heaven, but the rishis may know. He said, no, neither rishis know me. He said, why? Because I am their origin. How can they know me when they were not there? So this is actually the purpose of study. When you see something, whatever you already learned, you correlate with it and relish it. This is the way to relish Bhagavatam. And the next is, they were all able to perceive the transcendental form of Supreme Lord. Perceive means, because Lord was in front of them, so they were seeing it, they are perceiving with their senses. It's like the one meaning of gopi. Go means senses and pi means drinking. With the senses, the gopis were drinking the beauty of Krishna. Gopi. So it's not that in meditation, it's not that in samadhi they were seeing Krishna. They were seeing Krishna with their eyes. Go means senses. So they were drinking the beauty of Krishna through eyes. And they are hearing Krishna's glories through ears. The another meaning of gopi is the one who keeps the things confidential, gopanya. So gopis kept Krishna hidden in Vrindavan, could not identify him. How? Because they were all, sometimes they say, dance for me. Oh, I will give you little butter, you dance. So Kansa will say, he's dancing, the Yashoda is binding, so how can he kill me? So they were keeping him hidden. Why he went from Mathura to Gokul? To be hidden. So there is the other aspect, the meaning of the gopi. And the other meaning of the gopi is those cowherd girls. Go means cows. Those who are taking care of the cows. So why this word came? What? Damsels of birds means those who are living in the Vrindavan.
Gau Gopi Alankrita Bridge. What is bridge? Gau Gopi Gopal Alankrita. Alankrita decorated with cows. The cow had girls, the cow had boys, and Gopal. That is the meaning of. Anyway, it can go for 1 hour. All right, no, abhi baad mein dekhenge, chal jayega. So they can perceive by their own effort? No. By His grace, by the grace of Supreme Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada, only by such grace could they offer their respectful prayers according to their different capacities. Capacities means their realization. Yes, yathamati. Krita anugraha vigraham. Vigraham is transcendental form, and krita anugraha means out of His causeless mercy. The Lord appeared by His causeless mercy and gave them opportunity to offer prayers. So Srila Prabhupada's purport is Lord is unlimited. So how can we know? We are limited. How can we know unlimited? It's a purport, first part of the purport. Second part is even Anant Dev, who is the expansion of the Lord Himself, Balaram, with 100 hoods, every time glorifying, still He is not able to comprehend everything. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada used to say, why one newspaper, two newspaper, there is so much information of the spiritual world that you can have thousands and millions of the papers and unlimited time, it can continue for generations and decades, and not decades but yugas. There's more information there. Now each small city has one or two newspapers. But the spiritual world is 3/4 of the material world. How much is the news there? But we don't know this news. So because there's so much information of the unlimited. So then Srila Prabhupada writes in the commentary, go down, it's the 7th line something. But one can offer prayers or serve to the Lord according to one's particular capacity. This capacity is increased by service spirit. This is practical application. If we glorify Lord, then our capacity means our realization will also increase. And then Srila Prabhupada is quoting the word sevano mukhe. It means using the tongue in the glories of the Supreme Lord. Devotion will start and continue and advance. Okay? It means Srila Prabhupada said what we should do? Chanting. Now Srila Prabhupada's his own realization. We have begun our service to the unlimited. Prabhupada is writing, see. We have begun our service to the unlimited with the tongue and become perfect in chanting and accepting Lord Prasad. This is Prabhupada is speaking of himself. We have begun our service with tongue by chanting and honoring Prasad. And we got perfect. So this way to get perfected. Then Srila Prabhupada says, it's not easy to only take prasad. Why? Srila Prabhupada is giving an example. Oh, living entity is transmigrating from one body to other body, so he have developed so many tastes in different bodies. So it is very difficult for him to only, firmly fixed in honoring prasad. It's not easy. The tongue should be engaged in chanting and eating large prasad so that the other senses will be controlled. Then Srila Prabhupada is giving a sort of similarity. This is called, what do you call it? Analogy. So, holy name is medicine and prasad is diet. You find it? Holy name is medicine and prasad is diet. Medicine for cure of the maya. Somebody said, Srila Prabhupada, when I start chanting, so many thoughts are coming in mind. He said, no problem. Let the thought come. It's maya is attacking you. You chant. So you go on chanting. So maya will try her power and you try the Krishna's mercy. So you will be successful one day. Their chanting will conquer the maya. It's not that somebody was going to the ocean for swimming and he did not start swimming for 4 hours. Somebody asked, well, you came here to take bath. Why you are not entering in the ocean? He said, all these waves are coming. When they stop, then I'll take bath. A wave never stops in ocean. So if you have to take bath, you have to jump in. And you'll be tossed by the waves for some time until you learn how to be inside. So there's the whole material world is an ocean and the waves are coming and will toss you up and down. But if when you become a good swimmer in Krishna consciousness and then you call upon Krishna, then somehow you will be able to stable in that ocean which is all the time having waves bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's not easy. So it's a big war. But you continue, that's it. Next verse. When Lord Vishnu accepted the oblation offered in the sacrifice, Daksha, the Prajapati, began with great pleasure to offer respectful prayers unto him. So who started offering prayer? First, Daksha. Why? Because there are senior people there. Brahma was there, Shankar was there, Shiva was there, Indra was there. Why he started offering prayer? Because he was the main host. It was his program. So he has to respect the Supreme Lord because Supreme appeared in his yajna. So he's a yajman. It is something like that, you know, when there is a big function, somebody will come first to, what they call, to thanks everybody for coming. And then the last somebody will say vote of thanks. So somehow Daksha's wife will come after great personalities. She will also speak, but after great personalities. Something like he started first. So Daksha offered respectful prayers unto him. The Supreme Personality of God is actually master of all sacrifices. Well, this is still Maitreya is speaking. He's saying after that Daksha started offering prayers. The Supreme Personality of God is actually the master of all sacrifice. It means Yagneshwara. Master means Ishwar, Yagna Ishwar. So Supreme Personality is Yagneshwar. Yajna Ish. And preceptor of all the Prajapatis. And he is also the preceptor of all the Prajapatis. And he is served even by such personality as Nanda and Sunanda. There is no purpose, Nanda and Sunanda. Who are these Nanda and Sunanda? Huh? Sorry? No, how can they come here? The context is Vishnu. Nanda and Sunanda, they are in Golok Leela. They usually, in Dhruva Maharaj, you come across, then they say the the Vaikuntha Vimana, the aeroplane from Vaikuntha was brought by Ananda and Sunanda. So they are the associate of Vishnu from Vaikuntha, Nanda and Sunanda. There's no purport. But in Dhruva's Charitra, you will come across these two names. They brought the aeroplane. It means they are people from Vaikuntha, not of this other planet. Okay, there's no purport. Now Daksha Vacha, okay? So what Daksha is speaking, Daksha Vacha. So these are the, now the prayer of Daksha. One verse only. It's like that when there are many speakers, then you have to give mic to one by one. You have any such experience in Bhagavatam and other place? Now Daksha, and then Rishis, and then Brahma, and then Shiva, and then Gandharva, and this is a list of the people until verse, I think, 47 or 48, there are periods by different. From verse 26 till 46, till Maitreya Vachan, till 47. 26 to 47 is simply the prayers by different personalities present in the assembly at the sacrifice arena. So they have one or two prayers, and then mic goes to others. You cannot speak too much, okay? All right. Well, I ask, is you have any such experience in some other place? Huh? Oh, there is, okay, when they are offering for the Vyasa Puja. No, I'm saying Bhagavatam. What I'm saying in Bhagavatam. There's two, three speakers speak when there's a big day. In a Bhagavat book. 7th canto, when Narsingadev appeared, then there is a prayers by everybody. Everybody started praying, Brahmaji himself, Lakshmi, then other people. Ultimately, Prahlad was asked to go and pacify. So there is a similar, there's a sequence of prayers by the personalities, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that, there also. So in the Bhagavatam, there are prayers like this, many people at a time, offering their prayers, whoever is present there. So what is Daksha saying?
Shuddham swadhamane uprata akhila buddhya avastam. Chinmatram ekam abhyam pari pratishadhyana mayam. Tishtam tayeva purushtam upetya tasyam. Asate bhavan aparishuddha ivatma tantra.
So Daksha, what is saying? First, shuddham, we are purified. We are swadhamni in your own abode. Shuddha means pure. Swadhamni in your own abode. Uparta akhila, completely turned back. Budhi avastam, position of the mental speculation. Chitta matram, completely spiritual. Ekam, one without second. Abhayam, fearless. Pratishadhya, controlling, maya, material energy. Tishtan, being situated, taya, with her, maya, eva, certainly, purushattvam, overseer, purushattvam, upetya, entering into. Okay. So what he's, I mean, most of the periods where you read, you know all these things all the time. They say, Supreme Lord, you come in this world, but you are not affected by Maya. Maya is under your control. That's what most of the prayer are in the same line. So Srila Prabhupada has no purpose. Let's read the translation. Daksha said the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my dear Lord, you are transcendental to speculative positions. You are transcendental to all speculative positions. It means nobody can comprehend you by knowledge. They can only say neti, neti, neti. Because they cannot understand you. Speculative means jnana, knowledge. You are completely spiritual. Chitmatram. You are devoid of all fear. Abhayam, your fear. And you are always in control of material energy. Pratishthaya mayam. Even though you appear in the material energy, you are situated transcendentally. You are always free from material contamination, pure, shuddham. Because you are completely self-sufficient. Aparishuddha eva atma-tantraha. Atma-tantraha. What is this government called? What government is called Tantra. What is called Tantra sometime? Ganatantra, what they call? Democracy is Ganatantra. So they are depending on the votes of somebody. But he said Atma Tantra, you are dependent on your own. You don't need anybody's vote to be selected as a Supreme Lord. No. You are self-sufficient. Another word for this same word, self-sufficient. Swarat. In the first word, Swarat, you are independent. Swarat. Swarat means not dependent on anybody. Okay, so Daksha has said something about the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. But it means that you have appeared here in the yajna, but still you are not contaminated by material nature. Everything is under your control. Okay, next is Rishi Avacha. So these are the rishis. Doesn't say which. The priest addressed the Lord saying, O Lord, transcendental to material contamination. O Lord, transcendental to material contamination. By the curse offered by Shiva's man, we have become attached to fruitive activities. And thus we are now fallen, and therefore we don't know anything about you. So who are these rishis who were cursed? They were performing the yajna and they were cursed. You all will always do the fruitive activities and eat anybody's and everybody's. You will not, this is all the earlier chapter. So they are actually accepting that now we are degraded because of the curse. And we cannot know you because we are only interested in fruitive activities. So what can we say? The first Daksha was saying about the knowledge, jnana. They cannot know. This says even the karmis cannot know. That is, jnani cannot know you. This is karmi cannot know you. That was jnani's mental speculator. This is a karmi. Those who are doing karma kanda or fruitive activities, they cannot know you. On contrary, we are now involved in the injection of the three departments of Vedic knowledge under the plea of executing rituals in the name of yajna. What is this? Three varga? So Srila Prabhupada just quote this verse in purport. You know, this. What is this called? Three? Trai, gunya, vishya, veda. Veda has a vishya, means subject of three modes. So we are doing only the function of three modes. We call it yajna, but we don't know you as a yajnapati. We know that you have made arrangement for distributing the respective share of the demigods. So we are doing this yajna, but we actually did a big mistake. We did not give the share to Lord Shiva, so everything is destroyed actually. So now you have come, so I think you will be Now everybody will be satisfied because you will provide everybody their share of. So what they are saying, we were fearful maybe because Daksha told us not to give share, so we are not giving. But now you are here, so now you can distribute properly. So Srila Prabhupada's purport is on this one word. Trividha. The Vedas known as Trigunya Vishya Veda. Those who are serious students of Vedas are very much attached to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. And therefore these Vedvadis cannot understand the ultimate goal of Vedas, is to understand Lord Krishna or Vishnu. So this Karmakandis cannot understand, that's the main thing, Vedvadis. So what is the word used here? Therefore the Vishnu is addressed here as Anjana. Hare Krishna. Vishnu is addressed here as Anjana. Free from material contamination. Anjana. And then Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse from Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Yamimam pushpitam vacham purvadanti vipaschitaha Vedavadarataha parthana anyadastiti vadinaha. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, and they say that there is nothing more than this. So they are accepting these all rishis. Now, next speaker is Sadasyaya Uchu. Sadasya means the members of the assembly. The members of the assembly address Lord, O exclusive shelter for all who are situated in troubled life. What is the meaning? Utpatya adhavanyaha asharana orukalesha durage antogara. Yeah. So utpati, repeated birth and death, utpati, those who are in this world. Asharane, not having place to take shelter. Asharane, those who have no shelter. Uru, you are great. Kalesh, troublesome. Durge, in the formidable fold. So the members of the assembly address, O Lord, exclusive shelter for those who are situated in troubled life. In this formidable fold of condition existent in the time element, like a snake is always looking for an opportunity to strike. What are they saying? What are they saying? Sadasya. In this material world, everybody is in trouble. Padam padam vipadim. On every step there is danger. And people have no shelter. You are the only shelter. If they don't take your shelter, they say, Lord becomes really very upset when somebody say, I am anath. He says, I am your nath, I am your master. Why you are saying you have no master? I am your master. Why you are saying I have no shelter? So people don't accept Supreme Lord as their shelter, Sharaniya. And the time is the snake which is going, and at any time anybody can die. This world is full of ditches of the so-called distress and happiness. This world is full of ditches, happiness and ditches, both are the happiness is also ditch and distress is also ditch. And there are many ferocious animals always ready to attack. Who are these ferocious animals? In one allegory they say, lust, anger, greed, these are the ferocious animals. Five ferocious animals. This allegory is given that a person was running in the forest because of the fear of the five ferocious animals. And then, all of a sudden he saw a witch. She wanted to snatch and kill him. So he was running and he climbed on a tree to be free from the animals. On the tree, he looked down and there was a big well with a big snake, open mouth. He said, oh, if I fell down, I am in the mouth of a snake. If I get down from the tree, this animal and witch will kill me. Then he saw the branch he was sitting, two mouse, they were eating the branch, black and white. He said, well, this branch will cut. I will definitely fall down into the well in the mouth of a python, snake. If I go down, they will kill me. What can I do? And all of a sudden he looked up and there was a nice honey comb. And the drop of honey was falling. And he started licking that honey. Somebody said, oh, poor fool. All around you is a danger and you are just relishing honey. Who is that fool? He said, we all are that fool. How is that? The ferocious animals, the lust, anger, greed, envy, they are chasing us. This old witch is old age. This is approaching everybody day by day. And the big well and an open mouth snake is death waiting for us. And the white and black snake are the day and night, they are cutting our age every day. And we are simply enjoying the little drop of honey in this material world, which some Vaishnava poet had said, in this world there is enjoyment which is just like a drop in a desert. Vari, bindu. Vari means desert and bindu means drop. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in his time has one picture which says there was a big snake and a frog was in the mouth of a snake. And almost 90% frog was already swallowed. Only the tongue was out. And double tongue is still, he was trying to catch a prey. So he was already dying, but still he's trying to catch a prey. So this is the situation of men in this world. Everybody is dying. Everybody is in the mouth of a death. 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. But still they want to have some enjoyment. So that's what actually these sadasya are speaking in this vein, what they are saying. We have to find out there somewhere, reference my Mahabharata somewhere, I hope. There are many ferocious animals, okay. The fire of lamentation is always blazing. What is fire of lamentation always blazing? Sansara davanal. The word is davanal. In a Sanskrit word is davanal. It is always blazing. The mirage of false happiness is always alluring. Mrag Trishna, mirage. You know this mirage? What is the mirage? What is the meaning of mirage? In a desert, when it is a hot sun, the deer is thirsty and looks like there's a water 100 meter. So deer run fast to reach to the water, but there's no water there. Then she can see the water. Deer can see the water 100 meter farther. So running, there's no water and ultimately dies. That's called mirage. Prabhupada used to give another example for this type of people. Anybody remember? One who riding on the horse or a donkey and want to donkey run. What do you do? Have a stick and hanging in the stick is a carrot. in front of the eyes of the horse. So horse or donkey thinks, I am going to eat this. So they run fast. But the carrot is that far away because it is in the stick. When he reaches to the destination, the donkey is perspiring. He did not get the carrot. And when the person get down, he beat a stick to the donkey and eat himself the carrot. So that's what the whole world is running like that. We don't get anything actually. And just we are running for nothing. So what is the next? Oh, Krishna is always alluding, but one has no shelter from them. Thus foolish person live in the cycle of birth and death, always overburdened in discharging their so-called duties. And we do not know when they will accept the shelter of your lotus feet. We don't know. You accept at least, Sadasya.
Padokto te sharanadah kada. When did they take your shelter? Sharanadah kada. When will they take shelter?
When will they take shelter? So Srila Prabhupada's purpose of Krishna conscious movement. His mission is there. Third line. The Krishna conscious movement is meant to give relief to all these bewildered and distressed persons. Therefore, it is the greatest relief work for all human society. And the workers thereof are the greatest well-wishers, means devotees. For they follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who is the greatest friend of all living entities. What is the greatest friend? What is that word?
Namo Maha Vadanyaya.
Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Greatest well-wisher of the... They follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They want to give relief to the people who are suffering in the material world. So ISKCON is a greatest relief work. Are we doing really relief work? How it is a greatest relief work? What in from this verse... How ISKCON, devotees of the ISKCON, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is providing greatest relief work to the people of the world. How? By?
Relieving their distress in this life and the life after.
By relieving their distress.
By transcendental knowledge.
By transcendental knowledge. To stop birth and death. From this verse, what is the word? What we are taking people? Take shelter of Krishna. So what we are giving them, take shelter, because they don't have a shelter. So ISKCON is the biggest shelter. Sharana, Krishna. Take Krishna's sharana. That's what we preach. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. He will protect you. You understand the... Simple thing. What we are, because the verse says, so Prabhupada's mood is Krishna. ISKCON is Krishna. Actually, ISKCON is Krishna. Krishna has appeared in the ISKCON in the form of holy name. So you take shelter of the holy name. This is shelter. So Krishna has appeared in Krishna conscious movement in the form of holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. So you take, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. So take shelter of the holy name. So our purpose of the Krishna conscious movement is to beg people. This is what Mahaprabhu used to say. Haridas Nityananda, go to door and beg them to chant Hare Krishna. This is take shelter of holy name. That's what the welfare work of Krishna consciousness is. The greatest charity. That's what we say, it is the greatest charity. Mahavadanya means charity. Dana, giving. So we are giving this Harinam to take, and the Harinam, they will take shelter of Harinam, they will be relieved from all anxiety. Next, whose prayer is there? Rudra Vacha, now Lord Shiva is speaking. So it means first there are three, the yajman of the sacrifice meant the man head of the sacrifice, then there is priest, and then the assembly members. Then now, the next one relative to the Daksha is Lord Shiva. He's his son-in-law and senior among rest of others. The more respectable among them after the home. And so this is something, how this is sequence is there, I don't know, but it appeared like that. Rudra Vacha, what Rudra is saying. Lord Shiva said, "My dear Lord, my mind and consciousness are always fixed on your lotus feet. Tava varda vara angrava asi sheha ahe arate." The verses are too big. If we recite, it will take time. But the translation we do, but you relish these verses, those who have a little taste. My realization is, if you take 10 minutes and see the word in some, you can find out at least the verse, word in the translation and find out in the Sanskrit. Make a little exercise. Say, Lord Shiva, my dear Lord, my mind and consciousness are always fixed on your lotus feet, which are the source of all benedictions and fulfillment of the all desires, are worshipped by all liberated great sages, because your lotus feet are worthy of worship. Now these four lines, you find out where are these words in his Sanskrit. I mean, if you do this exercise, then you will relish the Bhagavatam. If you can, and you can find there is no word sometime. You can find there is a more word sometime. Why Prabhupada is putting this? So then you can understand his mood. That he has put this word here because this word will come either after two verses, or it is already in two verses before, because the dialogue going on. So, say Varda, you give benediction. You are a great benediction, benedictory. Okay? Angraha, lotus feet. You can find out all the words and then just do little exercise. And this will enrich you with your understanding this. If you simply read the translation, it is just an eye exercise. But if you do little, it takes, by my experience, it takes hardly few minutes. Even when I am reciting verse, I just go down and have a look, and it's very easy to, you know, in your mind you relish this taste. This is, then it will be understanding. So Muni, Api Muni Bhi, all the great sages. Adrena, they are worshipping. You can find out all these words. I'm not looking actually, Adrena, with care. Aharanya, worshipable. All these words are there. You have to pick the words and see where are the, how Prabhupada is put in translation. So you see the beauty of the words in the Sanskrit and the expertise of Srila Prabhupada to put the words in a way that then you will relish it. Take a time. This is actually Bhakti Vaibhav. It should be like that. Right? What is next? With my mind fixed on your lotus feet, I am no longer disturbed by persons who bless me. So this is a realization. If you take shelter of lotus feet of Lord, people may say anything to you, you will not be disturbed. Claiming that my activities are not purified. People may say my activities are not purified. I am living in a cremation ground. I am putting the ashes on my body. I have snake over my neck. They may say like this. I don't mind. I do not mind their accusations. And I excuse them out of compassion, just as you exhibit compassion towards all living entities. So in other words, I am doing what you are doing because I follow you. I am one with interest. I have same interest as you. So this is Lord Shiva.
Yadrachit dhiyam avidya loka aviddham japanti na ganya.
I don't mind. I say, what we learn from this verse, if we take shelter of the lotus feet, our mind is fixed on Krishna, then people may say so many bad things about us, but we will never care for that. But still we not only forgive, forget, but we pray for them. So the devotee, the good devotee is one who forgive. The best is one, the better is one who forget. Sometimes we forgive, but we never forget, we carry with us. The best is pray for him that he has done this mistake because he is misguided. Krishna gave him intelligence not to commit such mistake again. So forgive, forget and pray. These are the qualities of a devotee. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport is Lord Shiva expressed herein his regret as having been angry and having disturbed the sacrificial activities of Daksha. He is regretting. So now you are here, so I am pacified. But before I was agitated because of harsh words and death of Sati, it has disturbed my mind. This is what I am regret for that. Actually, Yajna means Vishnu, so I have disrespected you. This is another Vaishnava characteristic. King Daksha has insulted him in many ways, Prabhupada is saying. And thus he had become angry and had frustrated the entire sacrificial ceremony. Later when he was pleased, the yajna performance were reinstituted. Therefore he regretted his activities. Now he says that because his mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Supreme Lord Vishnu, he is no longer disturbed by the ordinary critics of this way of life. His way of life. From this statement by Lord Shiva, it is understood that, now read this, as long as one is on the material platform, one is affected by the three modes of material nature. As soon as one is in Krishna consciousness, however, one is no longer affected by such material activities. One should therefore always be fixed in Krishna consciousness, busy in transcendental loving service of the Lord. It is guaranteed that such a devotee will never be affected by the action and reactions of the three modes of material nature. This fact is also corroborated in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who is fixed in transcendental service of the Lord has surpassed all the material qualities and situated in the status of Brahma realization. Which is this verse? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Sochati Nakankshe. This is the verse of Srila Prabhupada paraphrased. No, this is Brahma Bhuta. You are also, that also can be. That also can be. In which one is affected by hankering and lament. This is not in this verse. Therefore, the word hankering is pointing to the Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Sochati Nakankshati. Sochati and Kankshati, hankering is in from that verse. So that is the verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. So this is another exercise you do when Prabhupada says quoted, he paraphrased some verse and you have to find out which verse is there. So what Srila Prabhupada is saying and this purpose is, until unless one is to the stage of Brahma Bhuta stage, the devotional service actually purely does not start. It's not starting. So we are also agitated when somebody say bad words to us. It means we are not at the stage of Brahma Bhuta. It means the stage we are is struggling with the three modes of material nature. So Lord Shiva is saying, Srila Prabhupada's purport is Shiva is regretting that he has destroyed this sacrifice. So Srila Prabhupada is saying there's two conditioned soul and liberated soul. Liberated soul will not be affected by the people's critics, and the conditioned soul will be entangled in criticizing and counter-criticizing. This is astonishing. in a yajna which you have discussed, the followers of the Shiva curse and the Brahmins curse, counter curse. What it means actually, the Brahmins, they were doing yajna. They are big priests, they know all the Vedic knowledge, but still they were cursing, counter cursing. And the followers of the Lord Shiva, these are the all other followers which is under his jurisdiction. They were cursing, counter cursing, but Shiva did not curse anybody. He was quiet. He was just peaceful. He was not at all agitated when Daksha was speaking. He was just calm. He kept calm. And he did not even tell to the Sati that he was insulted by his father in this. He did not tell this to the Sati. Not tell this. So he was not disturbed in that sense. But his followers has done all this. So actually what Lord Shiva is saying, if we understand the last word of the translation, as you are merciful or compassionate. What we quote, Lord Shiva is accepting and regretting for the destruction of the yajna, which is not done by himself, done by his men. That is the principle set by Lord Vishnu. Bhritya means my servant, mistake is my mistake. This is the principle of the verse. And where is this? In third canto, do you remember? When the Jaya and Vijaya, Lord Vishnu says, because they are my servant, they have made the mistake, I am responsible. So this is the principle in this verse actually. It's not Shiva has done anything. But his followers, of course he become angry when Nath told him about Sati's departure. But actually he is accepting. So why he is comparing with the Vishnu otherwise? Why the last line is there?
Tvattaha, like you.
This is only like you. This is the principle. If there's a mistake committed by the servant, the master is responsible. In Ramayana, there is some story. Anybody know? The biggest temple in the world is Sri Rangam. Biggest in area. It is seven walls like Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, there's seven walls. We know seventh door. So this whole temple is built within seven walls like a Vaikuntha. And all surrounded by the Kaveri River. It is just an island. And inside is Lord Ranganath. Lord Ranganath is Lord Vishnu lying down. This was originally worshipped by Mother Kaushalya in Ayodhya. And this deity was given to Vibhishan, and he was taking this deity to the Lanka. But he stopped there. So this is the only temple which is south-faced. Temple is never built with south-facing Lord. But this temple is south-faced. Because he's going towards Lanka, which is on south. Then Vibhishan is still coming and worshipping once a year, something like that. So once Vibhishan came, and because it's too big of Treta Yuga, his size is huge, some small Pujari Brahman came under his feet and he was injured or died. So people captured Vibhishan and put him in a cave. When this message came to Lord Ramachandra, he said, now Bharata, you take care of the kingdom, I am going. So he flew in his Pushpaka aeroplane, he reached the Sri Rangam, the people came and offered respect to Sri Ram. He said, my dear king, we have captured a big demon. He has actually stepped over some Brahman. So they brought Vibhishan. Lord Ramchandra said, they said, you punish him. He said, you are right, but I have a rule. If my servant commits mistake, then I am responsible. So he is my servant. So you give me punishment, Ramchandra said. And all were saying, how can we punish you? You are our master. He said, then you release him. So he got Vibhishan released and he established the same principle. Because he is my servant, it is his mistake, I accept his mistake, it's my mistake. So what we learn from this in our practical application, if we as a preacher, we are representing Prabhupada. When we are going out and preaching to the public, people don't see Prabhupada. They say, we are from ISKCON. And ISKCON is Prabhupada, Krishna. If we commit mistake, actually they will think this Prabhupada's followers are not good. So it is to be careful as a follower not to put master in an awkward situation. But last line is giving this hint, like you. It's not that Lord Vishnu has destroyed somebody's yajna, no. But anyway, Veerbhadra, he created, he sent Veerbhadra to set the example that he said, I just gave punishment like the father gives, not for their destruction, but for their improvement, for their rectification. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada's purport we have seen. Bhagavad Gita verse quoted. And then go to the next page. Krishna consciousness and should never forget the transcendental relationship with the Lord. This program has to be followed strictly by everyone. There's a preaching. From the statement of Shiva, it is understood that he was always in Krishna consciousness and thus he remained free from material affliction. The only remedy therefore is to continue Krishna consciousness rigidly in order to get out of the contamination of the material moods. Srila Prabhupada is saying Shiva's statement means he is Krishna conscious. So this is, it's not that, he's just simply this principle. Next, who is the next? Bhrigu Vacha. Now he's the chief priest is speaking. Sri Bhrigu said, Srila Prabhupada has put Sri here, there's no Sri with Bhrigu. Okay? He's giving respect to the big men, huh? My dear Lord, all living entities beginning from the highest, namely Lord Brahma, down to the ordinary ant, are under the influence of the insurmountable spell of spillary energy, and thus they are ignorant of their constitutional position. Everyone believes in the concept of the body and all are thus submerged in the darkness of illusion. They are actually unable to understand how you live in every living entity as super soul. Nor can they understand your absolute position. But you are the eternal friend and protector of all surrendered souls. But you are the eternal friend and protector of all living, surrendered souls. Therefore, please be kind towards us and forgive all our offenses. Last line is this, so I am, proceed thou, you become pleased with us. Bhavan pranatma bandhava, these are the two lines, you are friend, bandhu. Pranatma bandhu, you are the life and soul, consider devotees, those who are taking your shelter. So Bhrigu is simply speaking, material world, everybody in the material world has influence of the material energy, even up till Brahma. So Bhrigu Muni was conscious of scandalous behavior exhibited by each and every one of them, including Brahma and Shiva. Why Bhrigu is saying, Prabhupada is putting this purport like this? Huh? Anybody can tell? Why Prabhupada has put the purport like this? Even Lord Shiva and they are part of this. Bhrigu has a first-hand experience of all of these. In 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Bhrigu went to test who is to be worshipped. He went to the Brahma and Brahma became angry. He did not pay obeisance. He went to the Shankar and Shankar became angry and he took his trident and ran behind when he said, "Hey, how can you touch me? Have you taken bath? Living in a cremation ground with the ashes on your body?" So Shankar became angry. He went to the Vishnu and he just kicked on the chest of the Vishnu. But Vishnu pulled his feet. He said, "Oh Brahma, your feet is like a rose flower and my chest is like a stone. You must have been hurt. I am sorry, I could not receive you." So he knows, he has this first-hand experience. So when he's saying from his Prabhupada is saying, why Prabhupada is writing this? Because he's simply quoting something already. Bhrigu has this experience. Is it okay?
Yes.
It look like, otherwise somebody can say, how can Prabhupada is writing all these things? Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they have also come part of this. How can Prabhupada write this? You know, people who are followers of Shiva, they will be upset. He's quoting the Shastra. So everybody has done mistake. And then Bhrigu become the, in a Krishna Leela, this Bhrigu came as a hunter. And he shot that arrow which was left over from the iron piece of iron by the curse of the sadhus, and it stuck to the Sri Krishna's sole of the right foot. And Bhrigu came and paid obeisance. He said, "I'm sorry." Krishna said, "Don't worry, you go first to my abode and then I'll come." So he delivered Bhrigu even at that time. This pastime Bhrigu is there. Because he did that, so he became a hunter. And he hit an arrow. Hare Krishna. So in the second, okay. By mentioning Brahma, the chief of all living entities within this material world, he wanted to state that everyone, including also Brahma and Shiva, are under the concept of body and under the spell of material energy, all but Vishnu. So this line clarifies the whole pastime from 10th canto. Is it okay? That is the version of Bhrigu. As long as one is under the concept of body and as a self, it is very sufficient to understand the super soul. It is very difficult to understand the super soul, or Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conscious that he was not greater than Brahma, Bhrigu included himself in the list of offenders. He was knowing that I am not greater than Brahma, so I am also an offender. This is a joke, I think one of our preachers says, but his son failed in exam. So when his father asked, "What is your result?" He said, "Doctor's son also failed." He said, "What about your results?" He said, "Advocate's son also failed." He said, "What is the result?" He said, "Oh, judge's son also failed." He said, "What is the minister's son also failed?" He said, "What is your result?" He said, "Are you bigger than them? That your son will pass?" "They're all son failed, so why? How do you expect that your son will pass?" Is that a good way to say I failed? So Bhrigu is saying, all they have done, so why? What about me? I am not it is so simple. So somehow it looks logical, but Prabhupada has written, why we should understand. It's realization is coming right here. This is called Bhagavatam. It's just speak on its own. Okay. Ignorant personalities, conditions, okay, in the next. The only remedy is to surrender to Vishnu and always pray to be excused. Two things, surrender and pray to be excused. Surrender and pray to be excused. Nobody on his own strength can be freed. That is the perfect position of a Krishna conscious person. He surrender and he prays to be excused. Lord is everybody's friend, but he is especially friend of the surrendered soul. What does this mean? He is a friend of everybody, but he is the special friend of surrendered soul. What is the example Srila Prabhupada used to give? A charitable person may give anybody and everybody charity, but to his own son, he has a different disposition. So Krishna is charitable, Krishna is merciful to everybody, but to his own devotees, surrendered souls, he has a different relationship. So is this a defect in Krishna? Is it a partiality? He is a bhakta vatsal. He is a protector of the devotees, he likes his devotees. So is it partiality? So he is partial, but he is impartially partial. What is the meaning of impartially partial?
As people surrender to him, that much he is partial. So it's actually not partial.
Impartially partial means he is impartial, anybody can become devotee. He is impartial. Anybody come and become devotee. But once you become devotee, then he is partial. So he is impartially partial. He is impartial that he gives invitation to everybody to become devotee. He is not saying you cannot be devotee. The most sinful can be devotee. Apicheta duracharo can be devotee. Papyunya can be devotee. If they are recommended by devotee, even the pulakasa, abhira, sumba, all these, which is a list in a second canto of Bhagavatam, all those who are beyond, below four ones, they can be liberated. So he is impartial to give chance to everybody to become devotee. But he is partial, once somebody becomes devotee, then he is committed to protect him. So it is not his fault, but it is his ornament. It is not a dushan, but it is a bhushan. Bhakta vatsal is not a fault. It's not a dushan. Dushan means fault. It is a bhushan, which means ornament. Okay, next verse. Now Brahma is speaking. I think it appears a good strategy. First all them and then now Brahma is speaking. Then Indra will speak. It's good. There is a hierarchy maintained and the etiquette maintained, right? I don't know, but this is the thing which is coming on in a realization when we discuss this. I never thought like this before. It's just coming and I'm sharing with you. It's not I prepared all this. It's just coming. Okay, what Brahma is saying. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different process of acquiring knowledge. Means by jnanis. And jnana is coming from Vedas and Vedas are coming from Brahma. So Brahma is saying is not possible. Okay? Your position is always transcendent to the material creation. Whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objective and instruments. Objective and instruments, what is this? What is this?
Maya mayada vyaktikraktoho matastam. Jnanasyaha cha arthasyaha gunasasya charasyo cha shriyoho. Gunasya, instrument. Arthasya, objective. What is this? What are these things? Anyway, the purport is also lengthy. We can read. What do you expect in this? What are the... Well, objective is not a person, there is an impersonal Brahm, okay?
And also the instrument is not bhakti.
So instrument, they are using instrument as a knowledge. They are using knowledge. And knowledge is a knowledge is a mode of goodness. So Lord is beyond mode of goodness. So knowledge cannot, by knowledge we cannot know God, because God is beyond. Knowledge is in mode of goodness. Sato sanjayate jnanam. So you have to give up also knowledge, you know, to if you want to know the Krishna. You have to give up knowledge. That's the knowledge of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, I think you have done already first canto. In first canto, Narad heard the words, you are still apakva, you are not mature. Why? Why you are not mature? Because you are searching me in forest, which is in mode of goodness. I am beyond mode of goodness. Forest is a mode of goodness. Where am I? Nirguna mama niketanam. My home is free from three modes of material nature. It means I live nirguna. There is no influence of three modes of material nature. So temple is beyond three modes of material nature. Because Lord lives there. So Brahmaji was saying, Charteshu Gunansa Chasharya, the basis. Srila Prabhupada's purport is by senses we cannot know. Even Shankaracharya is saying Narayana is beyond the material concept. Okay? So how we can know Srila Prabhupada, last line of the first paragraph? The Supreme Personality of one has to understand Supreme Personality Godhead simply by transcendental method of Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Which verse? Bhaktya mama vijananti. So instrument you use as a bhakti. What is the instrument in a yoga? Which instrument the yogis use to know the Lord? Sorry?
Meditation.
Meditation with what? What instrument?
Mind.
Mind is the instrument of the yogis, and logic is the instrument of the jnanis, because it's speculation. It is just logic. Mental. So they use the logic and they cannot know this. Neti, 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 this is not, this is not, this is not. That's the way they want to know. Both are material. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, for jnanis, Krishna says, jnani is my, like myself, ek bhakti. But what is the verse? Bahunam janmanam ante jnanvan mam. After many times he will reach me. Though he is very dear to me, but he will take many lifetimes. Then go to the yogis in 8th chapter. 8th chapter, yogis. Anek janam sang siddhis, after many lives perfection. 6th chapter, for yogis, this is a verse maybe 43 or 4. The unsuccessful yogis. So the word is anek janam sang siddhis tato yanti param gati. After many birth and death they will reach to me. And for devotees, bhavami nicharat parath mayaveshit chetasam samudhirta mrityasansar. Immediately I take him out of the ocean of material existence. I will come on a garuda on my carrier and pick him up immediately. No life, no death, no birth. So jnani many lives. Yogi many lives, but bhakta immediately. It's Bhagavad Gita, so simple, very logical.
Gyan is Bahunam. Yogi is Anek Janma. The devotee is Nicharata. No time. Quickly. Chapram. Immediately. So only devotees can know me. How devotees know me? So Prabhupada is giving the, he is giving the instrument for us. So what is the instrument for the devotee? Sevano Mukhi. So what is devotee, what is bhakti's instrument? So for yogi is mind. And for the jnani is books, his mental, the logic. And for the devotee, seva no mukhehi. He's a service attitude with a tongue. So now we get all the instrument for different things, right? So instrument for the devotee is seva no mukhehi, service attitude. Lord reveals to him. Now Srila Prabhupada is writing, quoting this verse. Which verse is this? Avajananti maam mudha manusham tarum ashritam. Even Krishna is in front of them, they will not identify him. They still speculate. Avajananti maam mudha. There are three words. Avajananti, jananti, na jananti. Jananti means no, najanti means not know. Avajananti means dried me. Avagya karna. The three words. Jananti means no. They know me. Ajananti means they don't know me. But avajananti means they dried me. They belittle me. What is the meaning of avagya? Avagya means they. Prabhupada wrote the word dried me. Huh? Dried. What is the meaning of dried in English?
It's made fun of an authority.
Fun of an authority. They make a joke. Ah, hey, Krishna.
Contemptuous.
So the three words are different. Devotee is janati. And the Mayavadi is avagya, avajananti, offenders. They don't get any result. Moghasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana, vichetasa. All their effort of activity, of the action, of fruitive activities, befabled. Of their attempts of the knowledge, finished. All their attempt of yoga, no result. And then next verse is, Mahatman astumam parat devim prakritim ashrita bhajante ananya manaso gyatva. They know me. Gyatva, they know me. What they know me? Gyatva mam ajam avyayam. And then who are avajananti? They don't know me. But there are Brahmavadis. Not Mayavadi, they don't know me. But they know Paramatma aspect, no problem. But there are people, they are innocent, they don't know me. That is then no problem. But the Avajananti is a problem. They are mood. This I think Krishna says about demigod worship. They don't know me, that I am the master of the sacrifice. They offer sacrifice to the demigods. They don't know me. Why? They will fall down because they don't know me. This verse in 9th chapter. Chevanti te avajananti mam. Na jananti chevanti te. I am the source of aham kartur, aham yagya swadha, aham aham omoslam, mantra aham aham evajam, aham agnir aham hatam, pita aham asya jagato mata dhata pita vedyam pavitra aham kariksa. Phir kya hai? What is the next? They don't know me, therefore they fall down. So they are avajananti. So they are called, they get some result. Demigod worship, they get some result, maybe temporary. They are alpamedsan, they have less intelligence. But Mayavadis, they are called abuddhya, they have no intelligence at all. No intelligence, less intelligence, and intelligence. So these are the categories here. So okay, Brahmaji's prayer is over. So most important the part in the instrument for devotee is tongue, and most important part of the purpose is service attitude. Can you see the service attitude two times? Prabhupada has given second part time also. By dint of their service attitude. In 10th chapter of Arjuna also confirmed that it is very difficult to understand personality of Godhead. What is this? Which is 10th Janamam Vatsi Keshwa Nati Bhagavan Vyaktam Vidur Devana Dhanava. No demigod knows, no demons knows you. Now you are revealing yourself. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting this whole set of verses which Arjuna is speaking. Okay, next. Hare Krishna. Yes, Govinda Dasi Ki Jai. Yeah, it is just walking on a sharp razor to practice devotional service is really walking on a razor blade. So you should not hurt you should not get wounded, and you have to further advance on that path. That's called Kushala. Very expert. Not wounded and not bound and reach to the destination. So devotees, they know the path. They may not be serious, so they may not be successful in one life. If they are serious, they can. It depends upon the seriousness of the devotee. But they know the process. They are not misguided by anything else. They know the process. Now rest depends upon their seriousness. Like they say, if devotee is there for 2-10 years and then he left for some time, if he come back at least, he knows how to wear dhoti, he knows how to wear tilak, he knows all the things already. So he has to start from second, level. It's not that he has to start from first level. So already he knows all these things. So similarly, when somebody is not completing, then he will start from there. It's nothing is lost. So the devotion is that nothing is lost. Okay, next. Indra Vacha. We have to go long way. After this verse, we will have a break. And then Gayatri and then next class. King Indra said, my dear Lord, your transcendental form with 8 hands and weapons in each of them appears to be for the welfare of entire universe and is very pleasing to the mind and eyes. In such a form, your Lordship is always prepared to punish the demon who are envious of your devotees. So, Brahma is saying nobody can know you, but Indra is saying, yes, you can be known. It's interesting. Bhuja dandaihi upayan ashtabhihi suraha dvishtaha vapu ananda karam manu drisham vapu. Your form is anandakaram, it's very pleasing. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport. And generally, it is generally understood from the revealed scripture that the Lord Vishnu appears with 4 hands. But now he is in 8 hands. But Indra is saying there is no difference. Even if he is 8 hands, he is the same personality. So that's the first part. Sometimes he may be a 2-hand, 4-hand, 8-hand, it makes no difference. So 8-hand doesn't mean he's a big and 2-hand, doesn't mean he's a small. He's the same. As Lord Brahma has said, to realize the transcendental form of Lord is beyond the power of senses. In reply to that statement by Brahma, King Indra said that, even though the transcendental form of the Lord is not perceived
perceivable by the material senses. His activities as his transcendental form can be understood. The Lord's uncommon feature, uncommon activities and uncommon beauty can be perceived even by an ordinary man. So what is the difference between the two? Brahma is saying you cannot be seen. It means by material senses. That is right. You are transcendental. But Indra is saying you may not be seen. But by hearing about you, we can understand you. And Srila Prabhupada is, in a purport, is giving this example of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. He said, this activity, anybody can say, no, nobody can do that. So God can do that. So it's this activity is so magnanimous, even non-believer has to accept. So his some pastimes are so, and then his playing on the flute is so beautiful and charming that we can know him. But he's saying we can understand him. And Srila Prabhupada quotes the activities. But then he says, still, the Mayavadis, they will say it is allegorical. He did not, how can somebody can lift the mountain? Why they say like this? Because they think Krishna is like them. They cannot lift mountain, so Krishna cannot lift mountain. So this is their concept. But, and Srila Prabhupada is like, but, can you see this last part? Allegorical. They say Bhagavatam example is allegorical. But Srila Prabhupada is insisting. He has done in presence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. As corroborated by the great Acharya, author like Vyasdev, Narad. Everything about Lord, his activities, pastime, uncommon features should be accepted as is. And in this way, even in our present condition, we can understand Lord. We may not be able to see Lord, but we can understand Lord. So therefore it is said, God says, Supreme Lord can be seen by ears, not by eyes. Shrota ikshitam. Shrota means hearing. Ikshitam means eye. In spiritual practice, the ear is the eye to understand and see Lord. And what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada used to say? We have done only 10 verses. Now we have to do 10, 20 more verses next. Anyway, last verses are no purport. Yes?
Don't try to see the Lord, but act in such a way that the Lord can see.
Yes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami says, don't try to see the Lord, but act in such a way and do something for the Lord, that Lord come and say, oh, who has done this for me? Who has built this big, beautiful Krishna Balaram temple for me? Oh, you just come and see like that. Who has done this beautiful work for me? Krishna, come and say, this is wonderful. Thank you very much. After Gayatri break, 12:15, we will resume. Hare Krishna.